8 weeks ago, Pastor preached a Sunday night message on 10 building blocks of marriage. Remember that? I got up and smarted off and said, make sure Peggy gets that tape. But I just want to take this occasion to add 3 more blocks. After 48 years, I think I have a license to do that, okay? Now, some of you ladies will need to say amen. Some of you men need to say, oh me. And these 3 building blocks I'm going to give you, they're just simply 2-word statements that'll get you through your marriage. Now, you who have been married a long time, hopefully you'll confirm and amen that. You who are younger, and I've asked Benny Bullock to take notes for his son that's getting married. You on me with it? Okay. So this is very simple. Won't take long. Not on the clock. I'll let you know when I start. The first 2 words to successful marriage is simply this. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Everybody say that. Yes, dear. Especially you men. I found out it saves a lot of arguments and fights. By the way, if a husband says to me he and his wife do not fight, he's either a liar or he's got lace on his britches. Oh my goodness. Yeah, yes. And by the way, fellas, if you think you've got the last word in an argument, it ain't. It's just the first words of a new argument. Everybody got it? What's the 2 words? Yes, dear. Ain't that right, dear? Okay. That's simple enough, right? Next 2 words. Are you ready? My fault. That's everybody say it. My fault. That's later in my life because I had 4 children. We had 4 children and a cat named Cyrus. Cyrus did. Went to Happy Kitty Land, I hope. So I had a lot of people to blame. Are you with me? But I ain't got anybody that I can. So whatever happens, it's what? My fault. Amen, honey? Got it. By the way, somebody said, to keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. Yes, dear. My fault. And I'm going to have to illustrate this next one. Simple 2 more words to help you through marriage. I love the story. Some of you may have heard it. Just stay with me. An old couple went into McDonald's. He ordered 1 hamburger, 1 order of French fries, and 1 drink. The old man unwrapped the plain hamburger and carefully cut it in half. He placed 1 half in front of his wife. He then carefully counted out the French fries, dividing them into 2 piles, and neatly placed 1 pile in front of his wife. He took a sip of the drink. His wife took a sip and then set the cup down between them. As he began to eat his few bites of a hamburger, the people around them kept looking over and whispering. You could tell they were whispering, that poor old couple, all they can afford is 1 meal for the 2 of them. As the man began to eat his fries, a young man came to the table. He politely offered to buy another meal for the old couple. The old man said they were just fine. They were used to sharing everything. The surrounding people noticed the little old lady hadn't eaten a bite. She sat there watching her husband eat and occasionally taking turns sipping the drink. Again, the young man came over and begged them to let him buy another meal for them. This time, the old woman said, no, no, thank you. We are used to sharing everything. As the old man finished and was wiping his face neatly with the napkin, the young man again came over to the little old lady who had yet to eat a single bite of food and asked, what is it you're waiting for? She answered, this is great, the teeth. We share everything. Yes, dear, my fault, and share everything. You good with that, Elton? Okay, keep it going, keep it going. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, please. We'll get serious now. Just had to have some fun, amen? Ephesians chapter 6. My subject tonight, not a pleasant one, but a necessary one. One that we like to duck, one that we like to sugarcoat, one that we like to not think about personally and nationwide. I don't know about you folks, but our nation's in big trouble. Rampant with sin and hate, murder. Why don't you look at verse 11 as a starting off point tonight. Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I'm quite aware of the verses that follow. I've heard great messages on the armor of God. I would just note a couple things to you. The armor's for the front. No armor in the back. By the way, if you haven't confronted Satan this week, or never confront him, I'd be checking out which way I'm headed. The other truth is, there's only one weapon. All of it's defensive, but there's one offensive weapon. We see that in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit, Brother Rigsby? Well, just keep on reading. The Bible interprets itself, which is the Word of God. But I want to concentrate on one little word. We want to look at that tonight. It's that little word, wiles. W-I-L-E-S. And notice whose wiles it is. It's Satan. What's the word wiles mean, Brother Rigsby? It means deceit, craftiness, slyness, beguiling. One of the best illustrations I can give this group, looking out at this audience. Before I ever came to Texas, my favorite cartoon was the Roadrunner. I don't know why the Roadrunner isn't the Texas state bird. I guess there's too many mockingbirds. I won't go to Austin and plead that case. But the Roadrunner had an adversary. You remember his name? Wile E. Coyote. You remember what Wile E. Coyote tried to do? He had all these great inventions to do what? To get the Roadrunner. Man, he'd have this contraption. I always remember Acme Builder or Acme this. And he'd have this set up ready. He's timing the old Roadrunner. Coming by. And man, he cut the string for the safe to come down on the Roadrunner. And it came down on him. Wile E. Coyote. Trickery. Treachery. Deceitfulness. Beguiling. Can I say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Satan has wiles. I notice the word is plural, you English teachers. But I'm going to look at one specific one. Would you turn to the book of James, please? James chapter 1. Just go to the right a little while. And after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1. And here is the main wile of the devil. Why is it, Brother Rich? Because he used it from the beginning. And he continues to use it now. Look what the Bible says. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, God does try us. This is not what we're talking about here. But God does not tempt us to sin. Is that what your Bible says? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But look at the next verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his, look at that next phrase, his what? Own lust and enticed. Several years ago, there was a phrase out, and there was T-shirts out, the devil made me do it. Now, I promise you, the devil's behind all of it. But he didn't make you do it. Your own, our own, caused us to lust and be enticed. Then verse 15, here's the wile. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth, what class? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, does what? Bringeth forth death. I want you to underline three words. Lust and sin and death. There's the wile. Lust and sin and death. Now I'm going to age myself just to tie this in and illustrate. Back in the 60s, by the way, the 60s were a bad, bad decade. That's when, and I was in public school at the time, Brother Chuck, that's when they took Bible out and prayer out. And we've devoluted in public schools. And I'm not knocking people that are light and salt. You understand where I come from. But it's devoluted. Always against authority. I was always taught to respect authority. Authority is not always right, but we're to respect it. That's including our pastor and the men in leadership in the church, folks. But it was also the drug scene. A guy named Dr. Timothy Leary came up with a stuff called LSD. Do you see the LSD? Bad stuff. His phrase to that generation in the college was, tune in, turn on, and drop out. That's a great philosophy to have. And actually, he had a cult that, hey, we take this solution and drugs and we go on a trip, and it became a religion. Satan's always got some false religions that deny the cross and the Word of God. But Satan has the LSD, the lust, the sin, and the death. I'm going to remind you in 1 John 2 in verses 15 and 16, love not the world. By the way, I always tell my wife, if we're living right, we are square pegs in round holes. There's not much out there for the world for us, guys. Hope you found that out. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, please. This is a wild, the lust, the sin, the death. He's using it from day one. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3. And we'll look back on one chapter before that. We're going to be in our Bibles a little bit tonight. I think that's a smart thing to do. I want you to look at, let's go to chapter 2 and verse 17, first of all, to get the setting here. I think most of you are familiar with it. But I want to show you the while. God gives a commandment. In verse 17, he says, and by the way, isn't this just like us in our fleshly, sinful nature? Adam and Eve had everything. I see it in our nursery sometimes. Now, if you've got kids in the nursery, I'm not picking on your kids. 15,000 toys in there to play with. And this little fella wants what that little fella's got instead of what all he's got. You with me? That was Adam and Eve. Had everything. Everything. But what he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. You got that, guys? For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what, class? Surely, might. God's word says, surely die. You with me? Now, turn over to chapter 3. And we're going to see this steps of sin way back at creation in time. Verse 6. We'll come back to a little part of that in a minute. Watch it now. Here it goes. And when the woman, what's the next word? Saw. There's the physical part. That the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Listen, Satan is not going to make sin unattractive, folks. Have you learned that? Duh. It's going to be attractive. Let's don't lie about that. She saw it and saw what it was good for, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit, lust, when it conceiveth, bringeth forth what? Sin. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Well, that's good, Brother Rick. I see the lust and I see the sin. By the way, they died that day, spiritually. We also talk about the physical. We'll see an illustration in a moment. Real quick, along with that, go back to verse 1, chapter 3. I want to talk about the subtlety of sin, the subtlety. Bible says in chapter 3, Genesis 1, now the serpent was more, what's the word? Subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. By the way, he wasn't a snake then. That's the punishment. He comes, the Bible says, Satan comes as an angel of light. Guys, Satan, it looks good. The subtlety. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. And then we know what he did. He questions God's word. And then we get Eve, she twists it a little bit. Okay? Now, why don't you go to Joshua chapter 6. Boy, we're in the Bible today. Yeah, that's a good idea. Joshua. We're going to see the same pattern, the same wile of the devil, lust and sin and death. In chapter 6 and verse 19, you remember the story, a miraculous way, God's battle plan isn't always our, they took Jericho in a mighty way. But he said to Joshua, when you defeat it, when you go into that town, when you go into Jericho, verse 19 he says, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Did you get that? He goes, well, God's not very fair. We're going to go in and fight and do all that. We need to get some. Listen, God always takes the first fruits. God understands what He's doing, folks. He's going to give the other battles. He's going to give the spoil to them. But the first fruits, by the way, I could talk about tithing. You get real uncomfortable. Belongs to God. That's a little side thing. Okay? Now we go to verse 1, chapter 7. Your Bible may say the sin of Achan. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Did you get that? Now, part of the rest of that chapter, and it's a great study, going to a Bible study, study how Joshua approached taking the city of Jericho. Then once we do a great thing, God does it for us. He makes a mistake. Instead of seeking God's face, He asks the men to go and spy it out, and they come back. We don't need anybody. We can take this little, such a little town. It was called Ai. But God already knew. Now, Joshua gets on his face, and God comes along and says, get up, Joshua. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. We've got to get sin out. By the way, there's a personal... There's sin. I love that song we sing today. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. If there's sin... Listen, if you're saved, you don't lose your relationship. But we lose our fellowship. Sin will block that. And so, He says, you call every family out. You bring them all out. We're going to go family, tribe by tribe, family by family. Hang on now. Verse 19. I'm still on the subtlety, and I'll get to the scope in a moment. But listen, here comes Achan. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto Him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Before I read the next verse, I'm talking about the subtlety. I talk to people all the time. I think about people. Listen, there's some lies that Satan gives us, folks. I promise you, if every incarcerated person in this world were truthful, here are the subtle lies that Satan gives. Number one, you can get by with this. You ever heard that? Satan ever tell you that? You can get by with it. Or no one will ever know. And here's Achan when they're supposed to be fighting in that. His eye, what's the eye gate? The lust of the flesh. He saw lovely Babylonish garments and silver and gold. We'll read that in a minute. Instead of fighting and doing what he's supposed to do, he took of the accursed thing. The subtlety of Satan. He'll tell you those lies. I'll tell you another lie. I think of addicts. You can handle this. You can handle this. I promise you, anybody that got on drugs and alcohol, and I'm trying to get in the RU thing. This is my experience firsthand on some things. Satan wants you to think you can handle it. In fact, he'll let you handle it a while. But I'm going to tell you, folks, not at the beginning. It's at the end. Listen to Proverbs 23:12. There's a description of the drunk, the addict. It says, at the last. Not at the first. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. The subtlety of Satan, of sin, to tell us we can get by with it. And there is Achan when he should be fighting. Now look, please, at his confession. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Well, looky here at the while number 3. While I, what class? Saw I gave among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I, what class? Lust is conceived. bringeth forth what? Sin. I coveted them, and what's the next phrase? Took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Did you get that confession? Oh, but Achan, nobody's watching. They're all fighting. Nobody's watching. Now go and hide it under your tent. Nobody's seeing. Hello? Are you with me? Oh, wait a minute, Brother Rigsby. We see the lust and we see the sin. Don't see no death. Well, hang on a minute. Very quickly, I want to show you the scope of sin. Here's another lie Satan gives you. You can do it. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, you're okay. Go ahead and do it. That's a big lie. Right here in our story, I won't call attention to every bit of it. Let me tell you what his sin caused. It caused a nation to be embarrassed. It caused a nation to be embarrassed. This great nation that they were all afraid of came in and took the great city of Jericho. Now they can't even take the little town of Ai. Number two, if you read the context, in chapter 7, 36 men were killed. They sent them packing back to Joshua. 36 souls died because of Achan's sin. In verse 20, did you notice what he said? I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. He sins against God. When you sin against God. Or so David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, Lord. And I wish I could say that was the end of that. But we have lust. We have sin. And the consequences are death. Read on with me. Verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them into Joshua and into all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. Watch this, it's coming. Not only embarrassed nation and 36 killed in the battle and sinning against God. Here's the ultimate thing in a sense. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment. And the wedges of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. That means the valley of trouble, by the way. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. Watch it. And all Israel stone him. Lust. When it conceiveth, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned, look at the pronoun change, them. Who's them? His family. With fire, after they had stoned them with stones. May I tell you, the scope of sin covers not just you folks. And what a picture we have here. So often we sugarcoat sin. Someone wrote this. It's very, very wise to me. What is sin? Somebody asked. Man calls it an accident. God calls it an abomination. Man calls it a defect. God calls it a disease. Man calls it a blunder. God calls it a blindness. Man calls it a chance. God calls it a choice. Man calls it an error. God calls it an enmity. Man calls it a fascination. God calls it a fatality. Man calls it an infirmity. God calls it an iniquity. Man calls it a luxury. God calls it a leprosy. Man calls it a liberty. God calls it lawlessness. Man calls it a trifle. God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake. God calls it madness. Man calls it a weakness. God calls it willfulness. LSD, the hallucinatory drug, is a bad drug. It's been on. People take it. All these synthetic drugs. But I'm going to tell you, it can't compare to Satan's LSD. I close with a simple thought, simply called the satisfying of death, of sin. What's the only thing that satisfied the sin of Eve and Achan, anyone else? It's simply death. The last part of that. Romans 6:23, you're familiar with it. You witness to people. The wages of sin is what? Oh, but I'm glad that verse didn't end that way. But what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I think I know all of you here. I can't read your hearts, but I don't assume that everybody here is saved. Can I say to you, if you're unsaved tonight, you're still in your sin, and the only thing that's going to satisfy your sin is death. But well, I got good news for you, though. Somebody loved you enough to go to the cross and pay the sin debt. Listen to Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. Somebody named Jesus Christ went to the cross and died and rose again for your sins and mine. Listen to 1 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God. What about the Lamb of God? That taketh away the sin of the world. If you're unsaved tonight, I invite you to come and receive Christ as your Savior who took care of your sin. But I understand most of us claim to be Christians. Can't read your heart. May I say to you, don't let sin. Satan knows he can't ruin now. Take your soul. I'm eternally saved. Amen. I've been sealed. Amen. Don't worry about the eternal security. But he knows the next best thing is to keep you out of your relationship with the Lord. But thank God the Bible says, 1 John 1:8-9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a little later on in chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then I can hear some of you, and we close. Oh, Brother Rigsby, you just don't know the difficulty I have with sin. Oh, I might know a little bit about it. Oh, but I want to tell you, the Lord knows our frame. And that's why He wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Are you ready? There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. But God is faithful. Man, we're not sometimes, but God is what? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what sin is so easily besetting you, but I can tell you the Lord does, and He says He'll provide a way out. LSD, lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Let's stand, please.